Good morning. Let's get out our Bibles today and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. While you're there, I'd like to have all the veterans stand up. This is Veterans Day, right? So I'd like to stand up. God. And for those of you that have sons or daughters in the service presently, we are blessed. We are thankful for your sacrifice. We know it's not easy to be in that kind of, and especially with the holidays coming up, it's a tough season. So we're a pray for their protection, and don't forget to keep our veterans in prayer, those putting themselves in harm's way to preserve the freedoms that we enjoy in this great country. So keep them in prayer, and for those that have served, we thank you and appreciate you, and we honor you today. Okay. The title of my message today, well, is All the Lonely People. You see, loneliness causes all kinds of problems. Did you know that? I was reading a little bit about the health consequences of loneliness, and here's the list. A wide range, it says, of negative effects, both physical and mental, in your mental health, are the result of loneliness. Some of the health risks associated with loneliness include, and here we go, depression and suicide, cardiovascular disease and stroke, increased stress levels, decreased memory and learning, antisocial behavior, that's no surprise, right? And then poor decision making, and alcoholism and drug abuse, the progression of Alzheimer's disease, and altered brain function. Research has shown loneliness can impact stress and heart health and immunity. But those are not the only areas that loneliness takes its toll on. Lonely adults consume more alcohol and get less exercise than those who are not lonely, explained John Cacioppo, that's an interesting name. But he's a co-author of a book on loneliness. It's called Loneliness, Human Nature, and the Need for Social Connection. In an interview with U.S. News and World Report, he says their diet is higher than fat, they sleep less efficient, and they report more daytime fatigue. He goes on to say loneliness also disrupts the regulation of cellular processes deep within the body, predisposing us to premature aging. You know what, ladies? If you want to be more beautiful and not age, guess what? Stay in fellowship. Right there. Better than any Mary Kay stuff. You know, get plug in, man. I'm not down on Mary Kay, okay? But loneliness, it's something that, well, you look at today, and though the numbers of the population are increasing worldwide, you'd think that would get rid of the loneliness, don't you? But it doesn't. And it's been a problem for quite some time. There are a lot of songs that are written about loneliness, aren't there? I think of Roy Orbison. You heard that song, Only the Lonely? Some of you are going, I think I've heard that one. Some of you confidently, you're probably, you were around in the 60s and you're probably a teenager then, you know. And you know that song, or you're just a music nut like me. And then, of course, there's the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley. And it had that little talking part, now the stage is bare. And, you know, and it's called Are You Lonely Tonight? Remember that one? And then there was the Bee Gees, Lonely days, lonely nights. Where would I be without my woman? That was the line. Then there was, hey there, lonely girl. Remember that one? Yeah. Okay, thank you. And then, of course, you guys encourage it, and it's not good. Then there was Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Eleanor Rigby, All the Lonely People, Where Do They All Come From? And then, of course, Eric Carmen actually wrote the song and recorded it in 1976. But the song wasn't really super popular until Celine Dion picked it up not too long ago and recorded the song All By Myself. Don't Wanna Be. Remember that one? All by. And all you kids are going, I don't know any of these songs. But the rest of you do. And the words in Celine Dion's song, that All By Myself, I think of all the friends I have known. When I dial the telephone, no one's home. And then it goes into the chorus, All By Myself. You ever had those times in your life where you tried to call a friend, no one's home, you're texting them, but they're not responding? You've been alone. It's not easy. It can be painful frequently to be alone. I read a true story the other day that just breaks your heart. They found a mummified body of a man by the name of Bill sitting in a chair in front of his TV set. Doctors determined that he had been dead for more than 4 years. He was only 51 years old, and yet no one reported him missing. He had no relatives. He lived in an attic apartment of an otherwise unoccupied house. The body was found when a real estate dealer went to inspect the house for someone who inherited it. The man was unemployed, and an autopsy showed that he had died of natural causes. The owner of the house declared it empty in 1994 after getting no response on several warnings to pay the rent. The electricity, as a result, was cut off. The water had been cut off. But nobody ever bothered to check the place, and here was a man dead for several years in this place, and nobody even knew about it. That's radical to think about. Loneliness. Something that plagues our society. In fact, though the population has grown, though we have all kinds of communication devices like we've never had technologically previously, do you know that we are becoming, according to the study, increasingly lonely? Since 1957, the percentage of Americans who admit to feeling lonely, according to an Easterbrook survey, has quadrupled. In 1957, 3% of Americans felt lonely. Today, 13% feel lonely. And listen, neither fame nor fortune are walls high enough to protect us from the ghosts of loneliness. In fact, it was the King of Rock and Roll who recorded, Are You Lonely Tonight? Elvis Presley, just before he died, he wrote a note. And this is what the words were on that note. He says, I feel so alone sometimes. The night is quiet for me. I'd love to be able to sleep. I'll probably not rest. I have no need for all of this. Help me, Lord. A desperate man who had what many would just desire and say, well, how could he be unhappy? He's got all the money. He's got all the women. He's got all the cars. He's got it all. But the man was lonely. 22% of all Americans ate dinner alone last night. Perhaps you're in that category. A Gallup poll stated that 3 out of 10 Americans are lonely. The novelist Thomas Wolfe once said, "The whole conviction of my life now rests upon the belief that loneliness, far from being rare and a curious phenomena, particularly to myself and a few other solitary men, is the central and inevitable fact of human existence. We all experience loneliness at one time or another." And the American Council of Life Insurance reported that the loneliest group in America, you want to know who those are? The kids that go off to college and leave their family and their friends and what is familiar behind them and find themselves in a whole new place and the loneliness that's there, even though they're at times living in dorms. They're lonely. The reason why loneliness is so horrible and so impactful is, guess what? God made us for relationships. Did you know that? He made us for that. He made us to need each other. When God put Adam in the Garden of Eden, you would have thought he had every single thing in life that you could possibly want. And in fact, hey, this guy had it pretty much dialed in. He didn't need to iron because he didn't wear a shirt. He didn't need to shop because he had no shoes. And guess what? Problems? What stress did he have? There were no deadlines. There were no financial crisis, stock market. And yet, God made everything and said it was good. And then he looked at man, and in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God said, "It's not good for man to be what? Alone." That certainly is true, and he's talking about marriage, but that is talking about life. We're not to be alone without connection, you see. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the greatest Christian who ever lived, the Apostle Paul, he's scrawling the closing remarks, really, on the last letter that he would ever write, the last chapter, his last words. And here, as he arrives at the end of his life, the faithful apostle and disciple and preacher and teacher of Jesus Christ, he experiences some difficulty. He experiences being lonely. In verse 9, he says of 2 Timothy 4, "Be diligent to come to me quickly." He's writing to Timothy. Come. I want you to come quickly, as soon as you can make it. Why? Well, what happened? He says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And he's departed for Thessalonica, Sosrenes for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for ministry. And Titus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come. And the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them." Ever been there? People have left. Not easy. Paul is lonely here. And you can be alone without being lonely. I'm not saying that it's bad to be alone at times. In fact, there are times where you need to be alone. You really cannot walk, I believe, with God without being alone with God. So there are times that that aloneness is a good thing, and in fact, a necessary thing. There's got to be times where I just clear out my head, just go take a walk or something, and I just want to be alone with God. You can be alone with God without being lonely. And you can also be lonely without being alone. You know that. You can be in a crowd of thousands of people and still feel very lonely. Loneliness, you see, is not the absence of faces. Loneliness is the absence of fellowship. It doesn't come from being alone. It comes from feeling alone. If you feel like you're facing life alone or death alone or disease alone or even health alone, you can be very lonely. You can feel very lonely. It's tough to deal with when you crawl into bed, the bed that's half empty because your spouse has walked out on you. Or a home you're living in presently is quiet because the kids have moved out and your spouse has recently passed away. It's a mailbox. Remember the feeling when AOL first came out. You guys, probably some of you remember that. The old kind of dial-up, thing. And then all of a sudden, boom, it popped on, and you're hoping to hear the familiar words, what? You've got mail. Yes! Somebody cares. When you popped on and went through all the sound, and then all of a sudden it was just, boom. And there was no, you got mail. You go, nobody loves me. The mailbox is empty. The phone never rings. You're texting, but you never get one back. You see, you experience loneliness. There's no feeling like it because, you see, we all want somebody to know we're here and to care that we're here, don't we? Story told by Sigmund Freud of a schoolboy who was expelled from school, removed from the classroom for misbehaving. When they removed him outside the classroom, he sat there and threw small pebbles against the windows. And finally, the principal went outside and confronted the boy and said, "Why are you throwing pebbles against the windows?" The boy said, "I just wanted everyone to know that I'm still here." How many of us carry those pebbles in our pockets? We just want somebody to know that we're still here. You see, one of the reasons why it's not good to be lonely is because it causes not only physical maladies, but psychological damage as well. In fact, it's estimated, according to studies, that 80% of the people who seek psychiatric help come primarily because of feelings associated with loneliness. It is one of the top two major contributing causes to suicide, particularly among teenagers. Why? Why do we feel loneliness? I mean, what's the reason for it? Well, I think there's two reasons. Some comes from separation. because we become separated from those that we love, perhaps because of the job you had to work late and or traveling required from the job, sometimes by sickness in the hospital and that kind of a thing. Sometimes it's, you know, a loved one passes away and we're separated from friends. We are separated from families. And Paul says to Timothy twice, come and see me. Be diligent, he says there in verse 9, to come quickly. He was sensing that separation. Timothy, come and see me. I need a visit. Get over here. In fact, in verse 21 of that same chapter, he says, do your utmost to come before winter, dude. Get here quick. I want to see your mug. We're all people, to one extent or another, who the moment the most important people in your life are gone for whatever reason, you know, I don't sleep so well when I'm gone and traveling in a bed by myself. I sleep way better with my wife there. So I can just, that's a feeling of loneliness. And that's Dr. Jeffrey Young of Columbia University describes three kinds of loneliness. He says there's the transient loneliness that can last anywhere from a few minutes to a few hours, or almost everyone experiences this type of loneliness. And then he says there's a situational loneliness, which is what Paul is dealing with here, and that results from some event that causes you to feel lonely, such as a spouse dies, a best friend moves away, your children go off to college, you move to a new city or community where you don't know anyone. You go into a new church, a place you haven't been previously. Maybe you're visiting someplace, and here you walk in and you know people and you got your seat and you got your location. Most of you have your places that you always sit. And you know the people around you as a result. And if you go to someplace else and go to church, you go, wait a minute, where am I going to sit? You might even sit someplace different because you go, I don't know anybody anyhow. And there's that, the situation is caused to feel loneliness. And that's what Paul was experiencing here. And some of it, the result of a voluntary separation, in the sense that he sent these men out to these different places. Some of it was involuntary. What do you mean? Well, some of it is a very painful type, and that is rejection. Demas has forsaken me. A guy that served alongside in ministry. A guy that had been there faithfully and that kind of a thing. Suddenly, he's gone. He says, I'm out of here. That is definitely a very painful situation. Difficult to deal with when somebody that you thought loved you and was going to be there and who cared for you suddenly walks out on you and you're abandoned. You see, that's tough. Demas has forsaken me, or because he loved this world, you see. If you've ever been deserted by someone you thought loved you and cared for you and would stand by you, you can understand how Paul felt here. And you know what? That feeling knows no age limits. I remember when I was younger and, you know, you had your girlfriends in school, right? You know, you're 14, 15 years old and you got a girl that you have a crush on and you kind of like, and then she kind of likes you. And then I don't know if they do this, probably don't do this anymore, but you go steady. Remember that? How many of you remember that? Raise your hand. You remember that? Thank God there's a few of you still alive. How many of you under 25 know what I'm talking about? Raise your hands. Any of you under 25? Oh, thank God. There's a few under 25. But it was a time where you kind of gone steady. It was your girlfriend, man. It was your chick, your dude, And so, listen, you are going steady. You're love with one another. And as far as you're concerned, you're going to marry each other someday when you grow up and get out of school. And everything's going well. And you're going, oh, this is the best relationship. And you're texting your fingers off. And that day when I was going through that, they didn't have text. So you talked on the phone all the time. And your mom and dad wondered what you were talking about. How could you stay on the phone for that long? You're tying up the line. Hence call waiting came into existence for that very reason. I think that's it, don't you? It's teenagers that were tying up the phone because now that's problem's gone. It's just they're tormenting their thumbs into oblivion. If you're looking for a career in the next, you know, in the near future, find out whatever doctor it is that deals with thumbs and fingers and the joint problems and get into that profession. Because I've watched you younger folks, and you guys put me to shame, man. I can't text my way out of anything. I mean, I even talk my text most of the time, honestly. But the bottom line is listen, here's the deal that happens. When that girl that you thought was your girl or that guy that you thought was your guy and everything was going wonderful and you were an item around the school, and then suddenly one day she wakes up and she goes, I'm not in love anymore. I don't love you anymore. And she dumps you. You know what? The loneliness immediately. You remember it? You remember the pain of that loneliness? And then parents, listen, tune in, listen. So you're brokenhearted. Mom and dad can't figure out what's going on. You're kind of cranky around the house. And you're kind of weepy and you want to be alone by yourself because your heart is broken. But you don't want to tell your mom and dad your heart is broken. And for good reason, because you see, here's what my dad, when I tell my dad, you know what? This girl broke up with me. He goes, there's plenty of fish in the sea. Now, let me ask you a question. For somebody who's heartbroken and the loneliness resulting, does that ever help? No. It's like, are you connected at all with the pain and the loneliness that I'm experiencing? I feel rejected by this person who I thought would be there, who accepted me and said they loved me. That's one of the most difficult lonelinesses to deal with. So separation is one of the causes. There's another cause of loneliness, and that is isolation. Dr. Young calls this loneliness a chronic loneliness. What is isolation? Well, he describes it. This is where people tend to become so preoccupied with themselves and with their problems that in effect, they make up their minds they want to be lonely. You see, some people are lonely because they want to be lonely. Do you know that? We have a name for those kind of people. They are often referred to, oh, he's a loner or she's a loner. It's that a person in school who's a loner who goes off because of their intentional isolation, because of maybe the hurt or maybe the rejection. And then they begin to pull back and isolate themselves. Because of the pain, they choose to be lonely. And even though they're in a crowd of people, again, it's not a separation, it's isolation. And Solomon warns us about this. If you are pulling back and pulling in from a relationship and connection with people, it is a dangerous thing to allow yourself the freedom to do. Solomon, in chapter 18 of Proverbs, in verse 1, says this, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and he rages against all wise judgment. Clear enough? You start to pull back from your friends. You start to pull back from fellowship. You start to pull back from connection with people. And guess what? You're going to have trouble. Well, I don't want to get hurt again. Yeah? But I'll tell you what, you're hurting. And you're going to hurt more deeply the more you disconnect, you see. And that's self-centeredness. You're just thinking about you. Some people are that way. They get so self-centered, so wrapped up in who they are, so self-opinionated, so in love with themselves that people can't stand to be around them because it's always about them. And they become very lonely and very isolated. A loneliness of their own making. Which is why many times, you know, the internet and they resort to texting. They don't want to be seen. They don't want any more of a connection than just kind of a superficial kind of, I'll talk to who I want to talk to and I'm not going to have to respond and I don't have to get too involved. It's minimal commitment to text. How committed do you have to be? You can actually start ignoring it and it's no big deal. If they're standing there face to face and you ignore, bigger deal, right? You feel a little bad when you're ignoring them. When they're texting and you're ignoring them, you can just turn the volume off, shut the phone off. Who cares? Shallow, superficial. I'm not saying you can't have a deeper relationship text-wise, but it's far easier and far less commitment. And you don't have to respond and you don't have to deal with the question. You don't have to dialogue and talk, you see. And you could pull back and isolate yourself. Dr. Philip Zimbardo, a professor of psychology at Stanford University, wrote, "I know of no more potent killer than isolation. There is no more destructive influence on physical and mental health than the isolation of you from me and me from us and us from them." During World War II, the Nazis learned that, and we know that in many of the torture camps, they would put a man in solitary confinement after he spent several days with no sound and no human contact, not seeing another person, not even somebody handing in a meal to him. The person would be willing to tell anything because of the torment. You see, when a person will not talk to anyone, as Solomon says, it's not far until they won't listen to anyone either. That type of isolation, that type of insulation can lead to psychological and spiritual devastation. So what do we do? What did Paul do as he experienced this separation and this rejection to deal with this issue of loneliness that will be helpful for us this morning whenever we experience this? There are three things that we learn from the great apostle Paul in this season, in this time in his life, that will help us, I believe. Number one, reject the pity party. Don't sit there and feel sorry for yourself. Poor me. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Might as well go out in the garden and eat worms. Oh, now listen, great men and of God have done just that. Remember Elijah? The guy that called down fire and saw miraculous hand of God and fire one moment. The very next scene after Jezebel says, "I'm going to get you," like this queen says, "I'm going to get you, Elijah." And for some strange reason, he freaks out and starts hightailing it out of town. I don't know why. If you could call down fire like that, why would a queen freak you out? I have no idea. Next scene, here's Elijah, the great prophet of God, sitting in a cave. "Okay, God, it's enough. Take me home now.
I and I alone. There's nobody. I alone, alone, lonely. There's nobody else that serves you. There's nobody else that stands for you. You know, everybody else is like on the other side and liberal. We're the only conservatives left.
You can feel that way. I and I alone, self-pity, the pity party. Paul refrains from that. What's he do instead? He says, Timothy, I want you to bring the cloak in verse 13 that I left. A little cold, that's just practical housekeeping stuff when you come. But I also want you to bring the books and especially the apartments. The apartments? Yeah, they had motorhomes in those days and called them apartments. No, the parchments. I want you to bring the Word of God. I want you to bring it because I want to study, you see. In other words, Paul's saying, I'm not going to sit around and feel sorry for myself. Was he tempted to? I'm certain. Because he was no different than you and me. But he wasn't going to allow himself that liberty. He wasn't going to sing All By Myself. He wasn't going to sing Gilbert O'Sullivan's Alone Again naturally. You know what I'm going to do? He says, I am going to resist the temptation to sit and do nothing and waste time and sit around and wait for somebody to call me and be unproductive. I'm going to get up and if the phone calls aren't coming in, if the text messages are gone and I'm not getting the emails, I'm not going to go into these chat rooms. I'm going to get into the Word of God. I want to read. I want to feed my soul. Essentially, he said, as long as I'm living, I can be learning. If you're lonely, ask yourself this question. What can you do now that you're lonely and you're in the present circumstances that you're in that would be difficult to do, that would not be easy if you weren't going through this season of feeling lonely? Here's the point. Do what you can do. And take advantage of this and look at it as an opportunity. Some of you single folks, you can sit around going, oh, you know, and maybe you're going through a divorce and it's a tough season and you're feeling lonely and you sit around and feel bad. Listen, you need to recognize, hey, this is an opportunity. If you're single and you've been praying for God to bring a husband or a wife and you're sitting there and you're just wallowing in self-pity, you need to stop that and you need to say, oh, wait a minute. God has allowed me to be this way presently. And I know how you feel. I was single till I was 28. And I wanted to be married out of high school. So I wanted to be married in high school, actually. But I knew that had to wait. And I know what it feels like. Listen, until I learned this singleness is God's gift to me presently, although it didn't feel like it at times. I need to get up and do and use this opportunity of my singleness to go out and serve the Lord. I don't have to call anybody. I don't have to tell anybody when I'm going to be home. I don't have to, you know, show up. Nobody's expecting me. I can get involved in ministry in a way that I can't, you know, any other time in my life. I need to use this and get up and serve the Lord. You see, that's the key, folks. There's always something you can do. You can read. You can write letters. You can call other people who are lonely. You can go and learn a new skill or something. You know, when it comes to loneliness, in other words, don't just sit there in self-pity. Get up and do something. Use the opportunity of being alone. Secondly, realize that God is with you.
Verse 16, we read there, at my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Okay, everyone is gone. Everyone has rejected me and left me. When I'm going through the greatest difficulty in my life, these flaky, moron, unfaithful, chicken people. Is that what he says? No, that's what self-pity would say. Is that what he says? No, he says, may it not be charged against them. You know, Lord, I understand. They chickened out. They left. Some, you know, with false motives and reasons. But you know what? Don't hold it against them, Lord. How could he say that? Well, because of the next verse, verse 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Guess what? God's with me. Oh, the people have flaked out. God bless them. Poor people, they chickened out. But you know what? Lord, don't hold it against them. You know what? I'm so glad you're here. You know what you're doing. Listen, I've been delivered out of the mouth of lions before. You've done stuff in my life before. There's no reason to believe you're not going to continue to do stuff in my life now. See, sometimes when we're alone, we ask the question, God, where are you? Why am I here? Why did you allow this? Why am I going through this? Listen, where are you, Lord? I've got good news for you. If you're asking that question today, he's where he's always has been. If you believed in Jesus Christ, if he's your Lord and Savior, he, by his Spirit, is living where? Inside of you. He hasn't moved. He's not going to move. How do I know that? You got his word on it. Even when you move, he doesn't move. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus, when sending the disciples out to preach the gospel and knowing the persecution and the difficulty and the threat to their life that they would face, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God can use loneliness, actually. Feeling lonely? Maybe it's just the Lord nudging you and saying, hey, you know, you ever try to call a friend? You want to go to dinner and you call this person, you call everybody that you know. Nobody wants to go to dinner. You know, there's been a lot of times where God's going, yeah, I didn't allow anybody. I said, where's all these people, man? And he says, I didn't allow you to talk to anybody because I like wanted to spend a little time with you, dude. And you're like too busy and you want to do all this. And could we talk? Just you and me. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I'll eat and take my Bible with me and I'll take a drive and worship the Lord and sing some praise songs and be in prayer. And God, you want to talk to me, huh? Well, let's talk. And tune in and got a long drive. Let's listen to what the Lord is speaking. You see, it doesn't have to be a lonely drive by yourself. I've had some of the sweetest times and with the Lord just driving. I'm going to drive up to Hanford in a few days here because I'm on a board at Calvary Chapel of Hanford. You know, it costs too much to fly. It's a 3-hour drive. I'm going to have a lot of time by myself. You know what? I go, hey, Lord, I'm going to be listening for you and praying. And I got time to pray for you guys by name. And when I'm cruising up there, man, it's a great time. I always come back blessed and refreshed from that time alone with God. So reject the self-pity. Realize that God is with you. And guess what? You don't have to make an appointment to see God. Isn't that great? No waiting line, no hold.
Sorry, God is busy right now.
And press 1 if you'd like to talk to one of his assistants. You know, I mean, you don't get any of that.
In fact, the Creator of the universe is waiting for you. For you. Me? Yeah, you. Oh, no, you, Pastor. You're the one with the prayer connection, and some people believe that.
Some people think, well, if I have a pastor pray for me.
Now, I love to pray for you, but I have no special connection. But I'm willing to pray with you and agree with you because that's what the Bible says we're to do. But know this, I don't have any special connection. God like doesn't go, oh, Billy Graham's praying, cancel everything. Dennis Davenport's praying, you know what, all those rest of the people at Calvary High Desert can't listen because Dennis is praying. No. You see, God wants to hear from you. That's awesome to me. That the Creator of heaven and earth, that the giver of life would want to be involved and to hear me. And willing to hear and waiting to hear any time that I am willing to talk to him in any place. And listen to this, for any reason. Sometimes we think, oh, God doesn't want to be bothered with that. That's the lie of the enemy. He wants you to think that God doesn't want to be bothered with that. No, God loves you to speak to him. He loves you to pray. You see, really, for us as believers, the fact of the matter is, it's impossible for us to be alone because we can never get away from the presence of God. Isn't that great?
David said, where can I go to flee your presence? I can go to the heights of the heaven. I can go to the deepest parts of hell. And you're there, Lord. You're with me. You'll never leave me.
Then finally, respond to the needs of others. Verse 17 says, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. So listen to this. So why did he do that? So that the message might be preached fully through me and all the Gentiles might hear. In Paul's darkest hour and his deepest loneliness, God reminded him that, hey, Paul, I'm not done with you. I still want to use you to touch the lives of others. Listen, I want to say it again. The loneliest person in the world is the person who's wrapped up in himself. That's why some of these rock stars and these people with all the servants and everything, they are such lonely people because they're all wrapped up in themselves and they've gotten and lived for themselves and gotten everything they wanted, you see. And the key to really overcoming loneliness is to stop building walls around yourself and start building bridges to connect with others. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. I tell you something, no matter how much you're hurting, there is always somebody out there hurting a little worse than you. You know that? No matter how lonely you are, there's always someone else out there as lonely, if not lonelier, than you are. And if you're lonely and you go and say, hey, I want to minister, I want to reach out to somebody else. Maybe you're sitting here in church this morning and you're feeling lonely. Well, connect with somebody. There are people around you. Reach out to them. Who knows that they're not feeling the same way you are or even worse. And you can connect. And just a smile and a greeting and can I pray for you will change their day. And chase away that loneliness. Start building bridges. Forget about your loneliness and try and go help others who may be lonely. Go visit some shut-ins. I'm lonely. Good. Volunteer as a Christian to go visit somebody who is a shut-in. Go to the hospital and visit people who are experiencing ill health and stuck there and reach out to people. And you know what you're going to find? The loneliness will leave. Someone once wrote these words, it's no new thing to be lonely. It comes to all of us sooner or later. If we try to retreat from it, we end in a darker hell. But if we face it, if we remember there are a million others like us, if we try to reach out to comfort them and not ourselves, we find in the end that we are lonely no longer. if you'll take that step to reach out to others, to say, God, use me. God, I want to serve in whatever degree that you would allow me, in whatever capacity that you would allow me. Getting involved in a small group. We're in a big church, you know, and a lot of people say, well, you know, it's too hard to get to know people in this church. They're not very friendly and warm and loving. I disagree, first and foremost. But if that's your thing, guess what? We can make it easier for you to get connected.
Really?
How? Well, we have a men's study. Have you ever heard of the men's study? We have a women's study. We have small groups on Thursday night. We have couples, okay? We have the Crown Ministry. There's a small group. There are plenty of opportunities if in the big church you want a smaller and a better connection. And I highly advise you to do so. There are places where you can plug in and serve. You know what? We need people in the Sunday school, as you already heard, on Sunday nights. We need people on Wednesday nights. We need ushers. We need parking lot crew.
Well, I don't really want to do that, man. Can't I, like, you just, I sit here and you just, like, cater to me?
We could, but that wouldn't be healthy for you. God wants you to get up with that loneliness and get busy. Get involved and you'll meet people. And you'll be praying with people and for people and serving with people and doing what you were created to do, which, hey, guess what? There is no greater experience of satisfaction and fulfillment in your life than to be right in the center of God's will and His pleasure be on you. You need to make a commitment to find out where God would have you and then serve Him. Instead of sitting around having a pity party, thinking of your own thing, you see. Of course, the loneliest place to be is out of fellowship with God. We're all born with that spiritual loneliness. God created us and put us on this earth. And no matter how many people you have around you, no matter how many connections you have, if you don't have Jesus in your life, you're a lonely person. Because God has created you with a vacuum, a void. He's created you unto vanity, the Bible says. Sin and living a life for yourself just amplifies that emptiness. You need to come and have your sin forgiven. Have your life changed. Let God show you His purpose and His plan for His creation, His creation of you. He's given you life and He's given it for a reason, and you're never really going to be fulfilled. You'll never really deal fully with the loneliness until you come to the God who created you and find His plan and purpose. Jesus who died on the cross for you so that you don't have to be lonely. Jesus who said He would never forsake you, knocks at the door of your heart and says, hey, will you let me in? Can we have a relationship? Will you let me cleanse your sin? He took your place on the cross. Will you let me take control of your life and show you what life really is? You'll be lonely no matter how many connections you have, really, until you come to Christ. The day if you don't know that your sin is forgiven, if you don't have that hope of heaven, if you're growing in desperation and lonely and feeling the deadness in your soul, Jesus knocks at the door of your heart and says, you come to me and I'll cleanse you and I'll give you life and that more abundantly, and you'll never have to be lonely again. You have a life full of meaning and purpose, and you have the power to break the addiction and slavery of sin through a personal relationship with Him. Today, if you haven't made that step, this is the time. You're lonely for a reason. You feel the intensity of it because God wants relationship with you. There's a cure. Come to Christ. Let's pray.